Welcome back, everyone, to MX Asian American. Today we have Tony. You want to introduce yourself first to the listeners?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me, Karen. I'm Tony Liu. I am an ex-doctor, now a cartoonist, teacher, writer, coach, sex educator, relationship coach.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really excited about our discussion today. But let's start with like way back when. Could you tell us a little bit about like how and where you grew up and like how was your environment like and all that?
Thank you. I was born in Beijing, China, and grew up on mostly East Coast, New York in the US. I moved when I was age three.
Nice. So how did you feel like did your like family or parents like push you into doing anything specific while you were thinking about like career paths as you were going to like middle school or high school like that, anything like that?
Absolutely. I feel like what Asian American escapes that, or what Asian even escapes the like doctor, lawyer, engineer, those are the only three real jobs in the world that you could actually be. So there was a lot of pressure. And of those options, I was like, doctor seems the most interesting to me, but it was, yeah, there was, I always wanted to be an artist. Like, kids always know what they want to be, right? But that was never encouraged. In fact, that was very much looked down upon, belittled, and they laughed at it. They're like, oh yeah, that can't make money. You can't make a living
It's
off
just a
that.
hobby, right?
Right. Just a hobby. What are you going to do for your real job? They always said.
So, as you said, that your ex-doctor, you have followed the path into medical school and et cetera, I'm assuming. How was that journey like?
Painful. Oh, it took me, I quit late because some people drop out during pre-med in college or during med school. I actually went through the whole shebang until age 30. I graduated med school and then did even two residency training programs before deciding. And then I got to actually practice as a full-fledged doctor. And then just like, yep, this really isn't for me. I gave it all I could. Gave it my best shot, and yeah, this is not for me.
What was like, I'm always curious, like, what was there like a culminating moment or like a feeling you had that made you decide that you like this really wasn't for you and like you were willing to essentially give up all of like the hard work in the past like 15 years? Like, was there a moment where that made you decide to pivot?
Yeah, I think the biggest moment, I mean, lots of small moments added up to it, right? Like just even stuff like my med school advisor asking me, like, Tony, in your heart of hearts, do you really want to be a doctor? Because she could see what I couldn't at the time. But for me, it really was in the middle of my first residency program that I went skydiving. Because I never thought I would, but I just had gotten to such a low point in my life with my mental health that I was almost hoping something would happen because I was like, well, if something happens, then I would have an acceptable way to leave medicine. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's how dark of a place I'd gone to, how little I valued my life. And I was like, that's I had to make a change. But it still took me years to get out. It was to That's when I started seeing a therapist and actually prioritizing my mental health and really even just asking myself, what do I want my life to look like? And all of these important questions, like, who am I really? And starting that journey of self-development and discovery. So that was 9 years ago. So
Wow.
a while.
Well, I imagine that would have been like a really scary moment, even for when you realized that, and definitely lots of I guess admiration is probably the wrong word, but like for you to realize that you needed to do something different. When you did become a doctor, or like started on this path, I'd imagine your parents were very proud of you. So then, once you started this career change, I bet they also had some opinions, unsolicited opinions that they would give you, right?
So many, yes, they're still giving them, even though it's been 5 years in the career change making. Yes, they were quite brutal. I can't think of parents who are could be more extreme than mine. I mean, they fell from super proud to super ashamed of me, calling me things like loser, failure, trash, with flies buzzing around me, disgrace and shame to the family. It was really, really hard to deal with that. And I think that's why my transition's taken me so long, because I keep thinking, like, is it worth losing my family over and then missing them and getting scared? And it's been a mess, honestly. But I'm finally feeling like, no, this is not right if their love is conditional based on what I do and my career choices. So
For
taking a stand.
sure. Definitely respect you for doing that and so glad that you are. I think this is I had a similar feeling as well, but it's really hard to come to terms with, which is that some of our parents' love is conditional. Even like you try so hard to believe that it's unconditional, but that just may not be the case. And another thing that was really hard for me was like to understand that I can still love my family even if they are toxic to me. Might just show up in a different way. And so during your sort of like realization that you needed to leave the medical field and then like starting to get into therapy and things like that, were your parents or family members like, they're probably not, but like, how do they feel about you going to therapy and like, I guess, slowly trying to prioritize yourself?
Yeah, they just thought I was weak for like they didn't believe mental health is a real thing, or that they just think I'm a spoiled millennial and very ungrateful brat for all of the sacrifices that they made to immigrate and also to pay for my medical education. And there was a ton of guilt and shame, and yeah, but they just and very selfish. They saw me as very selfish too. Prioritize myself or even think about myself. I'd spent my whole life before that being a people pleaser, always putting other people above me, not just the family, but all my patients, my colleagues. I never took a day off of work. It was really bad because I didn't want anyone to ever have to cover for me or do my work. So definitely learning therapy helped me learn that it's okay because we need to take care of ourselves to a certain extent so that we can actually care for others. Otherwise, we will burn out if we're always and not refilling our own cup.
What was like the first sort of career path or like direction that you were taking once you like knew that you wanted to quit?
So I actually wanted to be a travel blogger at first because I had always loved all my international experiences and learning about other cultures. And I still nomad now. I'm actually in Philippines right now, and I've been in Asia the past year, and I've also nomaded through Europe and Morocco so far the past 4 years or so. But I tried out travel blogging and being the artist with freelance websites and illustrating children's books, working on my own manga comic.
Wow, that's amazing. I also love traveling, but what made you like start to nomad and like there's so many different types of, like travel, ways to travel. So like why did you start or choose to nomad?
Gosh, yeah, I think it's just having a curiosity about other cultures, other people. I wanted to see everything. I wanted to see and understand the differences. I think I had just been very touched by what's going on in the world, the divisiveness, the fear of people who are different, fear of the other. And I just thought, how can I help bridge those differences? I mean, I'm just one person, but I wanted to experience as many cultures as I could. When I first started nomading, I told myself, I'm going to spend several months in every single country, and that's going to take me the rest of my life. But that's okay. That's
Yeah.
a mission.
No, that's an amazing goal. I wish I could do that. I mean, maybe I could starting next week or something.
Everyone
But
can, but it is hard.
yeah, I would think so. So during your like nomading journey and like starting to transition sort of, what did you face any difficulties or any like rewarding moments?
Oh, so many. How do I pick them out? So many difficult moments related to like family not being supportive, my friends, and just even my own. I've developed such a harsh inner critic and negative self-talk that was really hard to overcome. And it's still a work in progress every day, right? The healing journey. But just like, what am I doing with my life? Have I made huge mistakes? And a lot of that, struggles. I wouldn't say regrets because I don't regret my decisions, but definitely hard times where you're questioned or you're facing the uncertainty and you're not sure what's going to work out. But the rewarding moments, I mean, there are so many. Like when I just found that I could do what I love and still and make a difference for people, like that really lit me up in a way that I never felt before in my old life in medicine. And that alone, I would say, was worth doing all this for. And just also nomading and seeing that we're so much more the similar and the same than we are different. Like everybody just wants a lot of the same universal needs for love and safety and connection. And it's just been really heartwarming, truly, that like the world is not a scary place. If you dared just my family was so worried about me solo traveling as a female, and it just, but people are so kind. I've really been moved by the kindness of strangers everywhere that I've gone.
I'm pretty sure this is probably really hard to choose, but where is the favorite country or place you've been to?
Oh, that is hard, but, well, I'm really liking Thailand, and it might be my new home base for Asia. I really like they're so friendly here, but also it's the vibe. They're just very content. They're happy with wherever they are. And I think they're family and relationships oriented, but they're not, how do I say it? Like they're enjoying the journey. And they really love themselves. I really, and it's a more, it's so different from the like, you have to
They're not like
workaholic,
busy,
drive,
busy hustle.
hustle, yeah, culture. And the food is amazing. The spiritual vibes are amazing too. And the nature, they've got everything, beaches, mountains, jungles.
Oh my gosh.
But I
So
love Japan
then,
too. I would say those are probably my two favorites. Sorry to interrupt.
okay,
Japan,
you're
the
good.
creativeness of it and how it is this interesting dichotomy because they're so reserved in interactions. But then I guess at night they produce all this amazing inventions and media.
That is true. I am curious about your manga slash comic that you are drawing right now. What gave you the idea of doing this?
Gosh, it's hard to say what initially inspired it. I just feel like it's been in my heart for years, and I'm just trying my best to do it justice and bringing it to life. In short summary, I guess it was loosely based on my experiences trying to start a badminton club or team in my college for years, like 6 years I tried. And it was always looked down upon as not a real sport in the West. So it always just felt like an uphill battle or overturning stereotypes. But so it technically is a badminton manga, but it's not like the typical sports manga. It's actually more based on character development and the relationships between the characters. The main character, I wanted to make commentary on just how some cultures still have these gender norms or double standards and expectations, or they would expect the women to stay at home and be housewives and not really give them the opportunity to pursue their dreams, their authentic selves, or even discover that. So the main character goes through that because that's been how she was raised, and that's what her family or her mother expected of her. But then she meets all these other crazy characters from the badminton club, and they've been recruiting all the weirdest people because they're just desperate to fill their club. But everyone has their own story, and everyone has. I'm trying to make commentary on things that young people struggle through, things like eating disorders and bullying and gender dysphoria and identity. And there's just so much that I want to cover in the manga, but I'm just worried that I'm not going to do it right or do it justice. So that's why I haven't published yet. I'm still researching.
No,
But
that's
one day.
such a cool. No, I would definitely read
Thank you.
it. It sounds so exciting. I love the crazy Batman people. Just my vibe. So then you also started this Facebook community that I know of called Exceptions, sort of play on words. And what sort of community have you built in that group, and like what kinds of feedback have you been receiving?
Yeah, thank you for asking, and thanks for being a part of it as well. So exceptions is spelled the first bit like acceptance. It's all about mental health and learning to love and accept yourself for all your parts, exactly for who you are. And the ending is, oh, sorry, it's hard to explain the title, but it's like take A for Asians and just replace the A with accept, and that's how you spell it. So it's not meant to be exclusive. It's just kind of loosely based on the cultural norms that I wanted to question from Asian culture, things like suppressing your emotions, just pushing through, blindly following what your elders want, like this blind filial piety and valuing achievements over authenticity, things like that, that I think it's been passed on for generations, and there's tons of intergenerational trauma there too. And also just for anyone who identifies as a high achiever or overachiever, there's something deeper within that, that because we don't feel good enough. But everyone is different. Everyone's experiences and mental health struggles are different, but it's meant to just be a safe space and a loving home, and hopefully bringing inspiration, motivation, and connections for people who, I guess, people who have felt like misfits themselves, or like exceptions to the rule, to the norm, or like, so there's nothing wrong with you. My message is just like, you should celebrate, or you should be celebrated for all of your unique and quirky and beautiful parts. There's no reason to hide. So, what kind of feedback that I've gotten from people, like they've really enjoyed having a space where they can just be, they feel safe to share anything, and some funny art or other content that I have created or shared with them, they get a laugh from it, or they're just like, wow, that's spot on, or I hadn't thought of things that way. So yeah, that's I many of them have thanked me for creating it, and it's been 3.5 years since it's been created.
Yeah, it sounds like a super loving community, probably like a space for a lot of them to heal from their like childhood traumas and like things that they're still working through. So, and do you have any like near future or like future plans or ideas of like either where you want to like travel to next or like some art projects in the works, things like that?
For travel, I think I'm just really enjoying Asia. I am putting together a retreat if people want to come to Thailand and be in person at a cottage by the beach and doing
Wow.
together or yoga, or like I've led some like ecstatic dance before, or like Zumba style dance meditation, or just movement based or art therapy, just all different ways to heal. I'm working on that. I also did run a group program that I'm going to do another round for. It was the shame-free sex ed, helping you like embrace your sexuality. And it was for Asian women at first, but I don't like being exclusive, so I welcome anyone who's interested to getting together and having a safe space to talk about some of the more taboo or difficult topics that we might not be able to talk about with anyone else. So those are the projects that I have coming up later this year.
Well, super exciting. I'm heading on to the last question here. So mental health is oftentimes like a non-linear journey. There's definitely ups and downs in each day. I'm just curious how you deal with those days that are like more down for you.
Yeah, that's a great question. Those days, they definitely are hard. Those days, I remind myself that it's impermanent, that it's always going to be up and down. It's not going to last forever, and that I'm just going to try my best to focus on self-care and the things that I know that make me feel good and also are good for me. And yeah, and just trying. I used to beat myself up a lot over them. And you think that in your healing journey, once you're fully healed, that you'll never have down days again. But that's not true. And just being able to be more accepting and gentle and kind towards ourselves and with our self-talk. I just remind myself that every day I'm trying my best, and that, hey, I've survived 100% of all my bad days. I'm still here. I'm still kicking. I'm still trying, going for my dreams. So that helps me get through the downs. But yeah, sometimes the downs last a while, and that's okay because they always change.
I think what you said was really important. It's like the down days are temporary, and you will come out of it eventually. And I think what the healing journey or recovery journey really gives us is like more tools to combat these down days, right? And make them easier to get through. So yeah, thank you so much, Tony, for coming on the show and sharing your brilliance with us. Where can listeners find you online or connect with you?
Thank you so much again for having me. I have a website, Dr. Tooni, DrTooni.com. People can send me a message there, or they can find me on Facebook or Instagram, same name. And they're welcome to join my Facebook group as well. We've got 500 people so far.
Yay! Thank you again for coming on the show. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you again.